everyone. So glad that you're here this weekend. We want to welcome you to Parkview. If you're online with us, we want to welcome you as well. Thanks for connecting with us. It is a monsoon in Chicago today. NASCAR's in Chicago, which is pretty good. Who's going? That's what I thought. No one? That's awesome. If you came in today and you are soaking wet, we do have some towels out in our lobby. So there's that for you too. If you're sitting there and you're a little wet, you can head out to our lobby. We've got some towels out there as well. If you are new to Parkview, I want to welcome you. It's so glad to have you here. My name is Chad. I'm one of the campus pastors around here. And there is a lot happening, as you can imagine, a church this size from week to week. But I want to highlight an event coming up for you that might be of interest. It's called Welcome to Parkview. It's a one-hour experience designed for newer people to our church, for you to get to know us, but more importantly, for us to get to know you, to hear your story, maybe help you discover a little bit about how God's made you and how you could connect with us here more and get more engaged. So if that sounds like something you'd be interested in, it's going to be in 2 weeks. We have one on Saturday and one on Sunday morning. In 2 weeks, we'd love to have you, but it's only a registered event. So you have to go out online to our webpage, parkviewchurch.com/welcome to Parkview, and you can register there. We'd love to have you. Also, this past week was Summer Jam, which if you don't know what that is, it's our version of Vacation Bible School. We had over 800 volunteers and over 1,200 kids come to Summer Jam. How incredible is that? That's incredible. I think we had like 49 injuries because of sharks and minnows, something like that. Anyway, it was a fantastic week. We sang, we played games, the kids learned about God. It was unbelievable. But here's the big highlight. We invite these kids to bring, you know, coins and things to help donate and to give while they're at Summer Jam. And all the kids together collected $16,000. That's amazing. That's going to go to help our global mission partners in Kenya. So if you're a parent or a grandparent and you were part of that, thank you, thank you, thank you. You're making a difference in the lives of our kids, not just here, but all the way around the world. If you were a part of our Summer Jam volunteer crew and you're here today, would you please stand? Did you volunteer at Summer Jam? Yeah? Thank you, guys. Did an incredible job. Thank you. We could not have done that without you, so thank you for doing that. And then lastly, if you did volunteer, then you know being with kids is incredible. And if you've never volunteered at Parkview, can I just encourage you to join our kids team? It will change your life, and it would probably change the life of a kid too. You could stop by our guest info or Next Steps booth out in the lobby, or right in front of you, there's a connection card on that chair back. You could just put your information on there, and then we'll reach out to you and help you get connected. We're glad that you're here this weekend, and we can't wait to sing with you. It's one of the things we do around here. We celebrate God. So let's stand up together and lift our voice for all that God has done.
Hello, hello, and welcome. We are so glad that you've decided to join us on this awesome weekend that we get to worship our good, good God. So I'm going to invite you to lift your voices and sing with us because we serve a God who is so worthy and he deserves it. Let's sing this out.
Remember those walls that we called sin and shame. They were like prisons that we couldn't escape, but he came. Died and he rose. Those walls are rebel now.
Yeah.
Remember those giants we called death and grave. They were like mountains that stood in our way. But he came and he died and he rose.
Those giants are dead now.
Come on, every voice this morning, let's sing it out together. This is our God.
This is our God. This is who he is. He loves us. This is our God. This is what he does. He saves us. He bore the cross, beat the grave. Let heaven and earth proclaim. This is our God, King Jesus.
That fear that took our breath.
our sin. Nobody but Jesus, who pulled me out of that pit. He did, he did. Who paid for all of our sin. Nobody but Jesus, who rescued me from that grave.
My mourning into dancing, my sorrow into joy, so that I might sing your praise and not be silent. Lord God, let us give you thanks forevermore.
Oh, I search the world, but it couldn't fill me. No man's empty praise and treasures that fail. They're never enough. But then you came along and you put me back together. And every desire is now satisfied. Oh, here in your love.
All right, let's sing this out together. Let's say,
oh, there's nothing.
Better than you, Lord, there's nothing.
Amen. And he is worthy of our praise and of our adoration. Can we give that to him this morning? Let us sing out with joy. He is worthy. Come on, every voice.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing.
And I will build my
Father God, we lift up praise in this place, together as one body, as your children, standing in your presence, because there is no one more worthy than you are. Father God, we put our trust in you alone, knowing that even when we don't know where we're headed or what's in store or how our prayers are going to be answered, we know that you are a faithful God, and we know that you walk with us hand in hand, day after day. And so, God, we give you praise and we give you thanks. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. Let's give God one hand clap of praise before we sit down this morning. He is so, so good, church. Y'all can take a seat.
Welcome to Parkview. So very glad that you're here. I want to welcome everybody, Homer Glenn and New Lenox, Orland Campus, and those of you watching online. Brunch looks great. Enjoy that, those of you watching online. My name is Casey. I've been a pastor here for a while, and maybe you don't know this about myself and my wife, but we're not native to this area. But I figured out, because I'm okay at math, that in January we will have been here for around here for about 15 years. And so when we came, we didn't know what we were doing. And I had this moment, and I just want to share this with you guys. I had this moment where I finally felt like I belonged. Somebody asked me where something was, where a location was, and instead of telling them the street, I gave them the intersection. You know we do this, right? The first time, when I first asked somebody, when I first moved here, where they lived, they said, oh yeah, we're like 167th and Wolf. And I was like, that's not a street, that's an do you live in like a box right there? Or like at the what are you? But now I feel like I belong because I can do that. There's some other things that I get to do, so that's really cool. Because belonging is a big deal, right? Feeling like we belong is a big deal. That word, I don't know what that word brings to mind for you. I mean, maybe it brings to mind a picture like this, a table where you have a seat, where you have a place. Maybe belonging is a really tough question for you right now. Like the stuff that used to make you feel like you belonged is starting to shift or to change. Like a relationship's not there that used to be there, or you used to be the parent of a high schooler and now they've graduated and you're not in that busyness loop anymore. It could be a divorce and all your relationships are now fragmented and staggered. And that idea of belonging, it's really important. This week, the question that we're talking about in this series, Jesus, Who Is This Man?, is the question, can Jesus accept me? And it's a fine question, but I just don't think it goes far enough. Like, I could answer that right now for you, and then we could pray and go home, which is yes. Yes, Jesus accepts you. But is that enough? That's really the question. Because acceptance is great. It's nice to feel accepted, like people want us and want us to be around. But belonging, like belonging is the thing that makes us feel alive. There's science that backs that up. There's a neuroscientist, actually, who says this about belonging. Belonging actually has to do with identification as a member of a group and the higher quality interactions which come from that. And this is my favorite part and the most important part. It's the interactions over time which are supportive of us as full, authentic human beings. For us to truly be alive is to belong. To have a place and a people. And so can Jesus accept me? Absolutely. But what I want to talk about today is this. Does Jesus make a place for us to belong? I remember the first time I ever met my wife's parents. She and I were dating at the time. And we went home to Pennsylvania. I was this blockheaded, overconfident 20-something West Virginian with this glorious accent, and she was a beautiful Western Pennsylvania girl, and so I went home, and she still is, and I went home to 23 years, she still is, and I went home to meet her family, and the first thing that I noticed when I walked in the door is that I am like 5 inches taller than everybody else, And what I realized is that actually, later they told me this was actually strategic. We asked her, date someone who could reach the stuff on the top shelf, because we can't. So if you could bring home a tall person, that would be great. And so I walk in the door, and this is the first time I'm meeting her parents. You know, I'm feeling like all this pressure. And for some reason, I brought my guitar with me, my acoustic guitar in my case, in case a serenade broke out. I have no idea. A campfire sing-along, whatever. And as I'm coming in the door and I'm saying, hi, I'm not paying attention, I rammed the case into the wall. And I'm doing three things at once. I'm saying hello, I'm looking at the wall, like, did I take a chunk out of the drywall, and thinking, oh, well, this is over. Like, before it even started, they're now thinking, who let this raging bull in a china shop into our home? And so I bumped into the wall, and I'm like, oh, this couldn't get worse. But then something happened that weekend that helped a lot, which is I met her entire family all at once. We went home because it was a birthday party, and everybody came. And I'm talking grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins. Listen, if you're dating somebody, you have that option to meet everybody at once, do it. Because one thing is, all the questions you need answered will get answered right then and there. And number two, you'll figure out if you want to stick around for the rest of that. And so I sat there and I heard all of these stories. I heard all of these people's names that I didn't know, and I heard all these inside jokes, and I was like, I wonder what that's all about. And I watched grandparents act like grandparents, you know? And they're from Pittsburgh too, so if you don't know this about Pittsburghers, they all have their own vocabulary. It's called Pittsburghese, so I picked up a bunch of words that I'd never heard before. And the whole time I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking to myself, will I, this Southern boy, ever fit, really ever belong? Could I ever belong to a family like this? Jesus is telling a story in Luke chapter 18. And in the story is, it's called a parable. And if you don't know what parables are, they're stories with two layers to them. So when Jesus would tell these stories, he would grab details from the life that everybody around him was living. And there was one layer of meaning, which was the story itself. And then there was another layer of meaning, which was what the point. It was what Jesus was really getting at. Now, it's important to understand about parables, they didn't actually happen. Like, Jesus told the story, that actually happened. But the details of the story, he was making up as he went along. And he did that to try and make a point, to try and teach people things. And so we get, in Luke chapter 18, we get this parable, this story. And here's how it begins. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Nothing like make it really clear what this is going to be about. I know there's some guy in the crowd who heard this and he looked over at his shoulder. He's like, hey, Kevin, he's talking about you, man. You pay attention to this. Sorry to all you Kevins out there. So this is how the story starts. To some people who believed they belonged and believed that gave them the right to tell everyone else who actually belonged, Jesus told this two-layer story. And here's how the story begins. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. If you don't know these two groups of people, here's what I'll tell you about them. The Pharisees were the most religious of the religious. They were the best of the best. They were the goodest of the good, if I can use a word that doesn't exist. They had their act together. They were the teachers of the faith in Jesus' time. More than likely, a Pharisee, before he was by the age of five, a person who had become a Pharisee would have memorized the entire first five books of the Old Testament. I don't know what you were doing at five. That's not what I was doing. These guys had it together. And if anybody's gonna belong in the whole faith thing, it's these people. So that's the Pharisee. And then over here is a person called a tax collector. And in Jesus' time, these were the worst of the worst of the worst. They actually had two categories for bad people. They had sinners, and then they had tax collectors, because the tax collectors were so bad, they couldn't even put them in the same category. Just as much as everybody felt like the Pharisee had it all together and belonged, everyone thought this person did not have it all together and did not belong. But in Jesus' story, there's a curious little detail. Both of them were welcomed to the temple. God invited both of them. They were both welcome in the temple to do something that was very, very good, which was to pray. That's what their purpose was. And so they were accepted, but the question was, which of them really belonged? who of them was God really going to listen to? After a couple of visits back home, I started to get more and more comfortable with my mother and my father-in-law, and they had this great deep kindness that they offered. And so whenever I would go home to visit, I slept in the guest room. My wife slept in her bedroom from when she was a kid, and I would walk up the stairs, and at the top of the stairs in the guest room, there was a big desk. And on that desk, there was usually a $20 bill with a post-it note that said, "For gas." Do you guys remember when you could fill up for 20 bucks? Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. And then there was usually like a book or an article, something printed out with a post-it note on it that said, "I thought you'd find this interesting." And I always did. And what I realized was my mother-in-law, when we were having conversations, it wasn't just pleasantries. She was listening. She was listening for the things that mattered to me. She was listening for the things that I was interested in. And not only that, she turned it into action. She did something with that. It was interesting to know that in this family that I didn't know if I would ever belong, there was someone who was actually thinking about me. And that felt really good. And then I decided to test it. And I tested it this way. I almost slept through my wife's college graduation. Now you might be like, "Well, that's why is that such a big deal?" Two reasons. Number one, the graduation was taking place 3 minutes from my apartment on the same college campus. It was a 3-minute walk from here to there. Second reason is, the reason I had overslept is because I was in a band. Yes, of course, we were all in bands. And we were really famous touring church basements, and we had played a really late concert that night before, and I had just completely overslept. And so when I finally realized that, I jumped up, and I ran. I'm half showered, I'm half conscious. I have a shirt on that I'm pretty sure I plucked from the bottom of a pile of other shirts. And I look back at the picture from that day, and my wife will look at me and she goes, "You were rough." But I made it. And then as I looked around at all of them, all three of them, I looked at their faces, and I just thought, "Oh boy, like, well, this is it. If the hole in the drywall that didn't happen, it wasn't it. This is definitely it. There's going to be a conversation at some point where they're like, "Honey, we love you, but you could do better. So let's move on." And that's not what happened, though. We went to lunch after that, and I sat down, and nothing felt weird. And I was like, "Oh, well, that's interesting." And then the next time I went home with them, I walked up the stairs, and on the desk there was a 20. With a note that said, "For gas." And there was a book and an article that said, "I thought you'd find this interesting." And I did. And it dawned on me that maybe me belonging to this family has nothing to do with what I've done or how well I've performed. Maybe it's not really even about me. Jesus continues the story. And he tells us about the Pharisee. So both men go up to the temple to pray. And this is what he says about the Pharisee. "The Pharisee stood by himself." So I want you to imagine him stepping off to the left over here by himself. And he prayed this prayer. "I thank you, God, that I am not like other people. Cheaters, sinners, adulterers. I'm not like them. I'm certainly not like," and then I imagine if this was a movie, he would turn and look and point, "And I'm certainly not like this tax collector. I fast twice a week," which is something they all did, "and I give you a tenth of all my income," which is over and above what most people did. So understand, the Pharisee has stepped over here to the side, and this prayer at this point is not even really about God anymore. It's all about him. He could have addressed it to anybody. He could have said, "I thank you, God. I thank you, Taylor Swift, that I'm not," and pick your era, whichever one he would have been praying to. "I thank you that I'm not like other people." This is all about him. And so he steps off to the side away from everybody else, and he talks about just how great he is. "Because I am so great, that means I belong. I've done all these really good things." And there's nothing wrong with doing good things. Please understand that. But the problem here is that this is shifted from doing good things for God to doing good things because that's who you are. And of course, for the Pharisee, of course, sometimes he felt burnt out, and sometimes he was tired, and sometimes he was faking it, but I'm still doing this, I'm still not that person. It's funny how often we look at ourselves, and then we find our own tax collector, and we say, yeah, you know, I'm faking it sometimes, and yeah, I'm not totally square here, but at least I'm not that person. I belong because I have earned it. So this is the Pharisee. And then in the story, Jesus says, but the tax collector stood at a distance. Now, if the Pharisee's over here, I want you to imagine the tax collector over here on the right. He would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. At the time, the practice of people in the temple is when they prayed, they would lift their eyes and hold their hands open. He couldn't do it. Instead, he beat on his chest, which was a sign of mourning, a sign of grief. The Pharisee said, I belong because I've done all this really great stuff. The tax collector is like, he's just saying the quiet part out loud. Of course I don't belong here. I know who I am. I know what I've done. So if there's any chance of me belonging in this place, it will have nothing to do with me. It will be all about you, God. It will be all about you. Whenever I talk about this, stories like this in the Bible, I invite people to imagine themselves in the story. And maybe you're thinking, well, that's really weird. Why would I do that? It's an old book and it's got nothing to do with me. And yeah, of course, history, it's different. And the customs and the religions and the languages and all that stuff is different. But here's the one thing that's not different. They're still people. They're people who have jobs that they hate and bosses that they hate. There are people who get scared. There are people who get lonely, people who get hungry, people who wonder how their kids are going to turn out, people who are scared of death, people who get up in the middle of the night barefoot, kick something, and say things they regret. Not that any of us have, but they did back then. It was a biblical custom. These are people. And so when Jesus tells the story, he's not just trying to teach. What he's trying to do is open up some space and say, hey, where do you fit? Where do we fit? Because I'll be honest with you, sometimes I feel like I'm the Pharisee. And I believe I've done a lot of good stuff. And there have been times in my life where that's been my identity. To perform, to show up, to do the thing. Even if my heart wasn't in it, even if I was faking it, even if I was toasted from the inside out, this is how you belong, is that you fake it till you make it. And if you have to push down some other people to show how good you are, that's fine. This is what makes me, but this is what God really wants from me, is no matter what, just to do the thing, to put on the play, to put on the mask. So I've identified with the Pharisee before. But there are also times in my life where I've identified with the tax collector. I have done things that were hurtful to others in order to protect myself. I have said things that were uncaring because they served my best interests. I have been greedy and jealous and lazy. I've done all that stuff. And so I've been in that spot where I'm like, you know what? I shouldn't even be here. And maybe that's where you feel like you are. Maybe some of you are like, I've been doing this Jesus thing for a long time and I'm really tired. Because I feel like if I let down, then I'm not gonna belong. Or maybe you're at this spot where you're like, I cannot believe the roof has not caved in because I'm here. And there's no way that I could pause. If people in my row, if people around me knew what I had done, they wouldn't sit here. What I find is that most of us are stuck someplace between the Pharisee and the tax collector. We either believe that all God wants is for us to do the right thing at the right time in the right way with the right words, or we're over here where we're like, there's no way I could ever fit or ever belong. It would be a miracle. And what's amazing to me about Jesus is he constantly talked about this. And what's more amazing than that is he told a whole different story about who God really is. And what God really wants, and what God's really interested in when it comes to us. And so maybe with the Pharisee and the tax collector, maybe Jesus is trying to communicate something different to us today. I remember one Christmas after my wife and I got married. Now, after we got married, it was great because I was in. Like, there's no returns at that point. The trial period was over, and now I was a part of this thing. And everybody has their Christmas traditions, right? We all have these Christmas traditions. Like, some of you sing Dominic the Donkey. I don't, but I find it hilarious to other people who do. There's a certain ornament you put on the tree. There's a certain thing that you do. Maybe you have stockings on Christmas Eve. And maybe you're thinking, like, why are you talking about Christmas right now? Here's the deal. It's the same day every year, y'all. It's coming. So if on December 24th you still have not purchased your gifts, don't blame me. I told you in July. Okay? Every year, same day. Let's start now. Well, my wife's family, they had this tradition at Christmas dinner is they had these placemats that they would put out. And everybody's placemat was made of greeting cards that had been cut, and my mother-in-law chose them specifically for the person, for my wife and for my father-in-law and for her, and cut them all out and had put them together and had laminated them. And so that first Christmas dinner, I remember walking to my spot at the table, and I looked, and there was a placemat. And I said, I get a placemat? And she said, almost insulted, of course. And that may sound like a small thing, but what it said was, hey, you're no longer a spectator to this. The placemats are not our thing, it's now our thing. And now you're a part of this. And y'all, it was laminated. Like, this is not going anywhere. This is not going to be revoked. Nuclear winter will not destroy this thing. So what that means is that every December, no matter how I had blown it or how I had succeeded as a husband, as a father-to-be, all that stuff, no matter what happened, every December I had this place that I could come back to, and there would be this placemat that said to me, you have a place at the table. There is a place where you belong no matter what. No matter what. Jesus finishes the story with the Pharisee over here and the tax collector over here. And I would imagine people listening were taking bets. Some of them had heard Jesus before. They kind of figured they knew where this was going. Some of them were like, no, this time it'll be the Pharisee. And here's what Jesus says. He said, I tell you that this man, the tax collector, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. That word justified is a legal word. It's a word from the courts. It means you're free and clear. It means you no longer have to worry about those unpaid tickets. It means that you no longer have to worry about getting pulled over. The judge has said not guilty, and that's complete. And he says it about the guy that no one thought belonged. Of all the people in that scenario, this person should have gone home justified, not this guy. What's the difference? The difference between these two, both of them were accepted. Both of them were welcomed into the temple. The biggest difference between them is that the Pharisee forgot who God really was. He had lost track of the fact that God is not the God who's keeping a ticker track of how many great things you do. He'd forgotten, and so what Jesus does is Jesus shows us the God of invitation. That God is constantly inviting people to realize it is not about you. You do not belong because of anything you've done or left undone. You belong because I just said so, because it's true. You belong, I've accepted you, I've welcomed you, but you belong for a very different reason. You belong because I have made a place for you to show up. The tax collector was humble enough to realize this is what's really happening. This isn't about me. If I belong here at all, which I'm not sure I do, but if I do, it's not because of me, it's because of you. There's nothing wrong with doing good things. There's nothing wrong with doing things that are right. And there's nothing noble about being the tax collector. The difference between them is, do we realize what it means to belong? Do we realize what that really means and what really happens? Because a lot of us, I think, whether you were doing this or doing that, we feel like, well, I have to get my act together before God actually wants me to belong or thinks I belong anywhere. Well, number one, that's never going to happen. We're not going to get our act together. Can we all just collectively exhale and say we're never going to get our act together? Because if we were, we would have already done it. There are parts of my life where I don't even know if I knew what my act was, much less how to put it back together. Like as a parent, when my daughter was young, I thought I knew. And now she's a teenager and I'm like, I don't know. I have no idea. Like if you're a student and you look around at your fellow students and you see those people, they're like, they've got their act together. They're doing all the right stuff. They're showing up. They're managing their anxiety and depression. Can I tell you something? No, they're not. No, they're not. All of us are trying to get our act together. The difference is God says, look, let me show you what your act actually is. And then we can get it together together. That's always been the case. You've always belonged to me. The question is, what are you going to do with that? From the beginning, the way we were created, God sees everything that he's made, all creation, including us. And he says, it is very good. And he never changes his mind about that, by the way. This is always true. The psalmist looks at himself as a person and says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. This is who I am at the core. Very good, fearfully and wonderfully made. Jesus hears this voice when he's baptized that says, this is my son, the beloved, in whom I'm well pleased. When we do life with Jesus, what's true of him becomes true of us. And this is true of us. You are my beloved kid in whom I'm well pleased. You have always belonged. And then Jesus says, if you will remain in me, I'll remain in you. There's no branch that bears fruit if it's torn apart. Can't do it by itself. If you remain in me, if you stick with me, I'll show you what your act is and how to get it together. Because the question is very different. And here's the question to me, if I think about it this way. The question isn't whether we belong to God or not. Let me answer that for you. You do. Of course you do. Who else would you belong to? There's only one who created you. There's only one who loves you. Of course you belong. The question for me is this, whether or not we're going to let that change us. Will we let that belonging change who we are? The difference between the Pharisee and the tax collector is the Pharisee had not let it change him. The tax collector said, I'm willing to let this change who I am and where I really belong. On May the 31st, this past May, my mother-in-law passed away at 68. And we had a great chance as a family to sit down and go through hundreds and hundreds of pictures and tell hundreds and hundreds of stories. We had a celebration of life for her a couple weekends ago. And we got to hear her friends and we got to be her family and just talk about what an amazing person she was. What a tremendous life she lived. What an example that she left with great, deep kindness and faith. And she passed in the way that most of us would like to. At peace with God, herself, and others, and owing no one anything. But she's gone now, and so that relationship changes, right? Things are going to be different moving forward. The month of her birthday is going to be a different time. The day of her and my father-in-law's anniversary will be a different time. December will be a different time. Christmas will be a different time. But here's one thing that will not be different. This is my placemat. And so hear me out. I'm not at all equating my mother-in-law to Jesus. She lived like him and acted like him in a lot of ways, but I'm not saying those two things are the same. If you just heard that, you can address that complaint to your campus pastor. They're happy to answer that. Here's what I am saying. Ever since you were created, there has been a placemat at the table for you that was never contingent on what you did. It was never contingent on your performance. It was never contingent on any of those things. It existed because you were deeply loved by the God who created the universe and who set the table. All of the years I have sat in that seat have changed me. Because of the acceptance of this family, because I belonged, I was a better father, I was a better husband. I knew what grace was like. I knew what love was like. That's what God is inviting you to. Of course you belong, but what does that mean? Will we let it change us? Will you accept the fact that there is a place that's been set for you and God is welcoming you to be there, to have a seat, to learn from him, to be changed by him? You have always belonged. What are you going to do with that? Jesus offers us an invitation, a specific one, and I want to offer that to you as a very specific invitation today. And I don't know where you're coming from or where you're at as you're hearing this. You may be like, I don't know, this whole Jesus thing is weird. You guys are all weird. Somebody told me there was food and I came. Okay. But here's what I know. Regardless of what you think of it, regardless of whether you believe you belong, it doesn't change what God thinks of you. And so this invitation is extended with zero strings attached. Is welcoming you to something bigger. Is welcoming you to a table that has always been set for you. And so I'm going to read this to you from the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 11. And here's what I want to ask you to do very simply. I'm going to read this to you, then we're going to pray. And if you want to accept this invitation, I'm just going to ask you to say one word to yourself in the quiet. Yes. If you want to accept the seat at the table where your placemat is and will always be, all you have to do is say yes. This is Jesus' invitation to you. Are you tired of being the Pharisee, of performing, trying to earn God's attention? Are you worn out by that? Are you burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. I'm not going to make you jump through hoops. But if you keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. This is Jesus' invitation to you. You have always belonged. Will you let it change you? God, I'm grateful that so long ago, you knew me. You knew the times of success. You knew the dumpster fire times. You knew all that. And you still pulled the chair out and put a placemat down, and you still offered a place to me, and you do that for all my friends in this room. And so I ask that right now, as they've heard this invitation from you, to rest, to learn these unforced rhythms of grace, to figure out what their act is so that then they can then begin to put it together, I ask that you would give them the courage and the hope and the inspiration to say one simple word in the light of a world that tells them they have nowhere to belong, in the light of maybe their past that says, you're not good enough for this, in the light of all those terrible negative stories that have been told to them about who they are and what they should do and what they shouldn't do, will you give them the courage, God, to say, yes, 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 I accept my seat at the table. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're going to continue together by taking communion. So I invite you to take those things out. If you're online with us, we would welcome you to join with us. You can grab some crackers and juice and celebrate communion right along with us. It is a chance for us to remember all that God has done. But like Casey just said, it's also a chance for us to remember that we actually belong. We've been invited to this incredible thing called the table. And that we get to remember that Jesus loves us very, very much, that he would die for our sin and give us an opportunity to spend eternity with him. So every time we take communion, we're remembering that. We're giving thanks for that. And so we want to create a moment now for you to do that. Let's just take a minute to give thanks and remember, and then I'll come back out in a moment. We'll take communion together. Thank you. Friends, this is how you know you belong. The body of Christ given for you. Take and eat. Now the blood of Christ shed for you, take and drink. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for inviting us. Thank you for accepting us. God, despite our sin, despite our inability to save ourselves, you came into this world and you died and displayed your deep love for us, giving us a way to be with you forever. And so today we celebrate and say thank you. But God, as we leave here in the moments where we feel alone, God, where we find moments where we feel isolated, or maybe that just simply we don't belong in a large crowd, God, I pray that you would remind us that we are accepted by you, that we are part of your team, we're part of your family. God, that one day we're gonna get to spend eternity with you. So keep our mind on that, God. Thank you for loving us like you have. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Everyone said, amen. We're really glad that you made it this weekend. Please be safe for the 4th of July, all right? Keep your fingers, okay? Let's stand up together. May the Lord bless you and may he keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may he turn his face toward you and grant you peace this day and forevermore. Amen. Have a great weekend. See you next time.